for that. I mean, I speak for Linda too. That's very humbling, very humbling. So we greatly appreciate each of you. And I have to pass on, y'all make it easy to be nice, okay? So you're easy people to be nice to. Anyway, so we greatly appreciate each one of you here. And two, you know, we do consider you, and I think very scripturally so, as a family. We consider you as a family. Look at it as, you know, in the family. So very humbled, and thank you very, very much. Very, very much. And very encouraging for Linda and I. Thank you. Thank you for that. Lord, we do thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for your love, and we thank you for just that we're here, that you have saved us, you've cleansed us of our sins, and you care for us. And so we just thank you for that. And I pray you would just really meet us this morning and give us insight into your word. Lord, I pray you'd anoint me through your spirit, like speak things of the spirit, and really speak to each one's heart, that it'd be an encouragement as you go forward this day in this world. And so we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, so we're kind of making going into James here. And so I want you to look at James 1:5. So just, you know, interesting how James starts. Like I mentioned before, it's kind of like a New Testament book of Proverbs. It, you know, gives us that information, you know, kind of some how-to information. So let's look here at James 1, chapter 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Oh my goodness. And all God's people said, what? Amen. Lord, you know, you look at that verse, and it's, you know, it's something as we think about the scriptures, what God's telling us here. You know, this is a very clear promise from God that every believer should embrace. We should just embrace it. It says, you need wisdom. You just ask me, and I will give it to you. I always kind of struggled between knowledge and wisdom and what God's saying, you know, one of those things, in kind of a humorous way that really helped me to distinguish between wisdom and knowledge is like knowledge is to know that a tomato is a fruit. I didn't even know that for a long time, but the tomato is a fruit. That's knowledge, okay? Wisdom is to know not to put a tomato in a fruit salad. That's wisdom. I mean, that just explained everything to me right there. So you don't put tomatoes in fruit salads. And so what wisdom is the ability to understand a situation and to discern what the next move should be. Oh, haven't been there like 10 times a day. You know, it's like that's wisdom. You're in the situation and you can see that situation and you know what the next move is. You know what the next step is. That is wisdom. And God says, I'll give you that. God says, I will give you that. Wisdom is knowing what to do next. Now, what's also interesting when you look at the whole thing about wisdom, all true wisdom begins with the reverence to God. So, you know, so God put that in the Bible. Just by the way, true reverence begins with reverence to the Lord. Look at Proverbs 9:10. There's plenty of places, but in Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know, you watch and you see this kind of worldwide and, you know, kind of rejection of God, and then all these people reject God, and then they gather together to make decisions and wisdom. Well, when you read here, say, well, if I'm not part of your discussion, you're not going to get wisdom. And so the world, by denying God, is denying, they don't know it, their capacity to have wisdom, to know what to do next. And so it's very interesting when we look at that and the Lord lays it out here. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You have to start with the Lord to have wisdom. Now, so we look at this and think, all right, you know, the Lord making that clear to us. And with this clear starting point, there's only one thing that keeps us from receiving God's wisdom. You ready for this? Only one thing. There's only one reason we can't receive God's wisdom. Doubt. That's it. That's the only reason. Doubt. Look at James 1:6. I'll give you wisdom, he says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. It's after the doubt. You know, it has to be doubt. Faith, you hear God, you believe it, and there's no doubt. There's no doubt. See, when we ask for wisdom, we must believe we're going to receive it. See, and what's interesting, and I really never noticed this before when I was looking at studying this. This is having to do with doubt before we ask. You know, I think, okay, I asked for wisdom going along. I hope God gives it to me. But that's not exactly what this says. What it says is that when you come up to something, you have doubt before you ask. And I thought, well, that's interesting. It's before we even ask. He ain't going to do this. It's doubt before, not during. I'm sure there's doubt during, but it was definitely, the doubt is before. Like we come up to a situation, I'd ask God, but it's not going to help. Now, but what he says, then he says here, you know, is that if we have doubt before we ask, James says, don't bother asking. And I don't know if that has an impact on you, but that had a huge impact on me. If you got doubt, don't ask me. Don't ask me. Don't waste your time. Because if you have doubt and ask me, it says here, you're as unstable as the splashing waves of a sea. You have doubt, don't ask me. It's like, okay. Because, look what it says now in James 1, we're talking 7 through 8. James 1, 7 through 8. Because you have doubt, for that person who doubts must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. I thought, oh my goodness. I mean, I don't know. It just, this whole kind of flow, it put a whole different processing with me. I said, oh my gosh. You know, it's like, you know, I talk about walking to God, depending with the Lord and asking for direction, just going along. And God goes, no, do you believe me? Then you ask. If you don't believe, don't ask. Don't ask, because I'm going to give you things. Don't ask if you don't believe. If you have, what he says, if you have doubt, you're going to say, well, I believe. We're going to have doubt. So we're balancing this out. I'll give you wisdom. Pour it out on you. Just don't doubt. Do you see kind of the where we are right here? Okay, everything. But if we say, but, we jump over here. So you got a but? Don't ask me. Don't ask me. It's like, whoa. And then when you look at these words, you look at this word, double-minded literally means double-souled. Double-souled. See, it's like having two souls, this person is divided in his mind and wavers between two options. He's two-souled. He has two souls. And what God says, you're two souls, don't ask me. Don't ask me. Oh my. And so we look at the flow here. You're divided and you waver between two opinions. One moment you voice yes of faith, next moment you voice the no of disbelief. And here's when you think, now why is the Lord saying it this way, and what is it all coming to communicate to us? Faith for James is single-minded commitment to God that trusts in God because God is God. See? I doubt. And kind of says, what you're communicating, you don't believe I'm God. No, I didn't say that. You go, yes, you did. He goes, yes, you did. And so that's what I'm saying. Don't even ask me. Because so what? You didn't doubt on that situation. You doubted me as God. You really said, doubting God in general, does God act today? Does he work today? No, I didn't. That's not what I meant. I mean, just in this one case, you know, and everything, and, you know, I believe you're God, but, you know, all this stuff. He goes, no, you doubt it. And you doubt it if I'm God. Now, this is what James is saying. This is what James, it's like, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. So there's a promise, an absolute promise, but then there's a dead seriousness. You know, it's almost like, this is terrible. This is like a business thing. You should never say it. But it's like God is saying, you buying in, you're not buying in. Just tell me. Buying in, if you doubt, you're not buying in. Don't bother me. And it's like, oh, my. Oh, my. So, and the doubter is one who lives with inner conflict between trust and distrust of God. Now, that hurts. Lord, I don't know. Goodness God. That's that. Now, I don't know what you're doing here. Now, there's a, ever been there? Because it's doubt. What? No. You believe that I'll have wisdom. Now again, what is wisdom? What is wisdom? What to do next? God, I'm going to pray that you fix it. Okay. About it. But that's not what this is. I mean, I'm not saying God won't fix it when you pray to fix it. But what he's saying, dear God, what are you doing and what should I do next? And I'll tell you. Do you see the difference here? Okay, I'll tell you. But you have presented, okay, God, I don't know what to do next. So you show me what to do next. He said, okay, I'll show you. And he may show us something we never thought about. You really, you know, but that's where he's coming back. You ask me, I'll tell you. But if you don't ask me. There's a, it comes to mind, I'm sure some of you read it. Jeremiah, like I've told you before, I relate to Jeremiah, just the complaining prophet. You know, I can't get there. You know, I just like. So Jeremiah, at the end, Nebuchadnezzar's come, and he destroys all of Israel. All the destruction promised on Israel through the Old Testament came in 586 B.C. Nebuchadnezzar came and leveled Jerusalem and deported all the people. Well, Jeremiah was there all that time. And so he'd tell Jeremiah, this is what I'm going to do. And he'd tell the people, and the people didn't pay attention. Well, what happens, you read it, it's very interesting. So the people knew that Jeremiah said, listen, we're in a world of hurt. Nebuchadnezzar's going to destroy this place. Well, what happened in that is that Nebuchadnezzar and his army got word. Hey, we got this prophet in town. He's calling it. He's telling everybody you're going to come in. So they knew about Jeremiah. Nebuchadnezzar knew about Jeremiah. So he comes in, wipes Jerusalem out, deports the people, and Nebuchadnezzar tells the army, hey, listen, there's this guy, Jeremiah, don't hurt him. He's got this thing. Don't hurt Jeremiah. You know, wipe everybody out. But see, Jeremiah, you take care. And so one of the rulers, the captains, came in and said, hey, Jeremiah, I said, we got you. We're going to take care of you. You know, we'll give you, you're just fine. So they deport all these people, and Nebuchadnezzar gives Jeremiah a choice. He says, okay, you come with us, or you can stay here. you know, whatever you want to do, you can do what you want to do. And Jeremiah said, okay, I'll stay here. I'll stay here. Well, that gets to the point. So Jeremiah's there. Well, this group that he leaves there, they end up fighting each other. Okay, the Jews. I mean, it's just, anyway, the long story there. But what they do, they come up to Jeremiah, and he says, listen, some of us won't go back to Egypt, and some of us won't stay here. You know, go to Egypt, get away, you won't stay here. What should we do? I mean, it's wiped out, and they just got piddly people. And Jeremiah said, okay, go before the Lord. He said, okay, I'll go before the Lord. And he went before the Lord, and the Lord told Jeremiah, said, tell the people to stay here. So he went, and he said, okay, people, listen, God said stay here. They go, I mean, what more could you ask, right? You know what they did? They go, we don't believe you. I don't believe God talked to you. Yeah, he did. I don't believe it. So they just left and went to Egypt, where God destroyed all of them. Now, why do I bring that? Because that's what we do. God, tell me. God, tell me. Okay, this is what I want you to do. How do I know that's you? I don't know that's you. Come on, you don't know. You know? So I'm going to do this. Oh, like we're smart. See? But that's what we do. See? God, tell me. And he tells us, I don't like what you said. I don't believe you. How do I know that's God? Oh, you don't want him to show you. Oh, you don't want him to, because he will. He will show you. He will show you. So this is what James is saying here. This is what James is saying here. Don't be a double-minded person like these people of Israel were. You know, they were double-minded people, and he had to destroy all of them. That's all you can do with double-minded people. So, and there's a constant turmoil in between. And you can see the turmoil here. God said, don't go to Egypt, stay here. Well, how you know? You just asked me. I said, well, God, but how you, where's the turmoil? You know. See? We anyway, that's the point. That's the point. And then God said, this person, and then this is interesting when you look at it, and he says, this person's double-minded. He's two-souled. It's just like two people living in him that disagree. You know, he's two-souled, and he's unstable. And the word there kind of popped out. He's unstable in all his ways. All his ways. You know, he's not just kind of spiritual lukewarm. He's just unstable in everything. He's unstable in everything. And it'll come out. See, this person is unstable in his personal life, his business life, his social life, as well as his spiritual life. He's unstable. Doubt. Question. You know, how do I know? See, indecisiveness negates his effectiveness. You ought to write that down. You just really should write it down. Listen to that. Indecisiveness negates a person's effectiveness. It's just indecisive. How do I know that was God? See? And so it's like, oh my. Now again, this is what James is telling us. I mean, he's trying to give us insight so that we can move on. I mean, he's helping us out here, you know, so we have understanding. Like I said, this is so we will know. You know, it's not so much, well, maybe it is a little to convict us, but I don't think it's so much to convict us. Is it, I want to let you know what's going on. I'm helping you. I'm teaching you something, and so you can grab hold of. And so we're going, okay, God, I see that. I see that. Now, God, and so we go by here. God promises wisdom when we ask. Now, I'm just going to bring it back to what James just said. Okay, I asked, and God told us, was that God? Oh, you shouldn't even ask God. Are you messed up when you ask God? See, oh my gosh, See? And so he's telling us, you know, kind of get our act together. Now we need to make, I'm going to make a just big, broad statement here. And we talk about this all the time. And so we don't have to give a lot of detail, don't have time. But about hearing God. How do we know it's God? Where do we hear from God? How do we hear from God? See, God speaks, of course, through his scripture, the Bible. We know that. God speaks through his scripture, and he speaks in a multitude of ways. And can't cover them here. Jesus himself, the Bible tells us Jesus himself will open the scriptures to guide us. Well, that means you need to read it. I mean, just, you know, but he opens the scriptures to guide us. And while reading, he may put a burning in our hearts, speaking specifically to us about a situation. Or have you ever read and just verses jump off the page, grasping our attention? He's going to talk to us. See? Also, the Holy Spirit is active, bringing to mind thoughts applicable to our situation. The scripture is full of that, giving us examples and specifically telling us he's going to do that. Jesus told us, go before the king, don't worry what you're going to say, because at that time, I'm going to tell you. Well, really? No, not you, but I'll tell the rest of them. He doubt. What was that? The doubt destroyed them. The doubt destroyed. And again, this is us and God. This is us and God. So the Holy Spirit says he'll bring thoughts to mind. And we've all had this happen. Every one of us has had this happen. He's just telling us to learn to live this way, you know. And so, and again, we could just go on and on. You know, God also uses godly counsel. If we talk to somebody and they have an insight, and we'll think, oh my God, and it just hits the point. I can see that. Or sometimes circumstances, just flat circumstances. You go through trials or whatever, and then bam, the door opens up. Well, okay, I can see what that is. God did that. There's circumstances. See, and God's going, he's that big, and he can do those things. And that's the reason, says James, says when you're doubting God, that he can do it. See, you're doubting God. Not for just that certain, no, you're doubting him, period. You know, period. And so there's the communication. Now, I'm going to share this with you, and I can say personally, you know, have lived this out, you know, to a certain extent. Almost 100, I must use almost, because I'm too cautious to say absolutely, but almost 100% of the time, God will tell us the first step. I'm just telling you. You ask for wisdom, almost 100% of the time. I'm saying almost. Biblically, he's saying every time. I'll say almost. When you ask God, he said, I'll tell you the first step. I promise you. But I want to know 2, 3, 4, and 5 and how my retirement looks. Then I'll take that first step. Guys, it doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. You take that first step, and you're sure that that second step is off a cliff. But you're going to take that first step. Now, I'll tell you the second step. But God, don't. Now you're in trouble, because now you're doubting God after taking the second step, or first step. I mean, so it's just, you know, need to pay attention to what the Lord is saying here. But and two, we have verses for it. We have a lot of verses for it. My personal favorite is Psalms 119:105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You have a light, it's lamp, it's dark, and back in that time, and so it's, and there's a circle. There's a circle. You hope so, there's a circle. Now, I got light. You know? God, tell me the next step. Okay, take the next step. I can't see. I know you can't see, but take the next step. No. Then we never can see. You can't see until you take the next step. And the light moves out one step. See, God says, that's how I work. Psalms 119:105 says, that's how I work. See, we're not making this up. That's how I work. See, if we take a step out, the light moves a step forward. Now, back to James. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. You want wisdom? Okay. He'll show you the first step. That's biblical wisdom, you know. Now, however, when we look here, he will not tell us step two until we've taken step one. God gives us more light when we move in the light already given. It's huge. What do I do? Move in the light given. But what about, but what about? What is the but? Doubt. Shouldn't have asked me in the first place. You shouldn't have asked me in the first place. Because I'm not telling you nothing. There's a verse, I think it's in Jeremiah 2. He said, these people walk in their own light. See, why does he do that? He just goes, because we make stuff up. Have you ever talked to somebody and you try to share something with them and they come back at you, they just make stuff up. If they don't want to do it, they just make stuff up. You can argue them, they just make up more stuff, you know. And God, he's not, you know, he has a lot of grace, but a lot of times he says, if you're not going to listen, don't ask me. You're going to be better off if you don't ask me. And that's what he's actually saying here. So, God wants to communicate, and he wants to lead us, and he's trying to show us, and he goes, take that first step. But there's so much I can't tell you until you take that first step. It's like he told the disciples in John 16:12. He said this to them, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. I mean, nothing's changed. Yeah, I got a lot of stuff to tell you. No, you just can't bear it. Now, you can't bear it. He tells us that all the time. Oh, God, if you just show me. No, you can't bear it now. You can't bear it now. You know, I appreciate, you know, the things that shared. And you know, I attempt to be transparent, you know, as you try to, you know, God shows you light and you step in that light. Oh, and you step in, you go, oh, you know, and this happens, you learn this. Oh, well, if you're back here, and I think the Lord said, okay, to be here, this is what you need to do. I'm going, I don't want to go there. I ain't doing it. He goes, yeah, you couldn't handle it. So I'll just tell you this much. You won't know any difference. You take this way. Then after a while you're down here, oh my God, I can't believe I got here. See, but if I knew that back here, I wouldn't even went. You know, I wouldn't have went. He wouldn't have had to worry about me asking. I said, ain't no way. I'm not doing that. See, so God says, God, anything's to say to you, but you can't bear them now. You can't comprehend them now. See, so God's constantly teaching us. See, God will purposely hold back certain things until we're in a position to receive them. You know what the perfect example is? You know what the perfect example is. Your kids. Your kids. 13, just give me the keys, trust me. No, you don't love me. No, I didn't. Ain't it. Why don't we try the go-kart? Yeah, I mean, this ain't working. See, you know. See, God gives us kids to show us how he treats us. And to how we respond, you know. We can't believe our kids did what they did. God's going, I can't believe you did what you did. I can't. How did you do that? I can't believe it. So we take that step. So this is real important. I think this is really important. Where God is pointing out is wisdom, and what wisdom is to make the next step. And he goes, the promise, I will tell you, I will make it known to you. I will tell you, but you can't doubt. That means you got to take step one. You can't doubt. Okay, and I will tell you step one, okay? Well, I'll take step one as everything's wonderful and I get a raise. No, you take step one and you'll get a demotion and you might get fired. But God, that's not fair. That's, I mean, I know that's what you're saying, but God, that's not right. You know, don't doubt. Don't doubt. See, and by what, that's what he's telling them. And again, I read, the thing was, it says he will do it. You know, you come, well, I asked God something. He doesn't tell me nothing. You know, all this, everything. I never hear nothing. And I'm going, I don't know. God says if you ask him, he'll tell you. So I'm just telling you, you know, I just, what you're telling me, you're not hearing nothing, is you ain't listening, or you're hearing and you don't want to do it. And you'll probably say to me, I don't know if God said that or not. Oh, that's worse. You just doubted. You know, I'm being figuratively, you just doubted. I'm going to take a step back because all hell's going to break loose with you and I don't want to be around you. Because it's going to happen. You did it to yourself. You did it to yourself. See, but I just had a question. No, you doubted the living God, who he is, that he can work. Now remember, we're not praying for a specific, you can't pray for a specific, we're praying for direction, wisdom, what to do next, what to do next. And by the way, when do we need this? Like 15 times a day. Okay, so I mean, you all the, okay, God, help me through this, help me. Would you show me something? So it's a constant conversation with God. Now, I want to touch on this, kind of summarize this. We don't ever have to be confused about hearing from God. We don't have to be confused. Now again, like I said, we were talking about trials last time and stuff. Sometimes there's silence. You think, Lord, but we understand there's lessons in that silence. You know, and so there's a faith issue we learn. That's a wisdom. You know, sometimes, Lord, what am I supposed to do? Right now, stay put. You know, stay put. But so there is a silence. But we don't need to be confused about hearing God. Okay? Because I'm going to summarize it here. In my mind, summarize it here. We only hear from three sources. Okay? I know what you're thinking. No, that's more than three. I mean, we're hearing everything. I mean, there's so much stuff we can't even get through it, which is always true. But we're really hearing just from three sources. So, I mean, the purpose of this, help us hear from God. Now, the three sources are, we hear from the flesh, we hear from Satan, and we hear from God. That's it. It's just those three. Okay? It's just those three. And so when we look at it, so the first one is the flesh. What is the flesh? Biblically, what is the flesh? The flesh is our own mind, emotions, and desires. That's the flesh. Our own mind, emotion, desire, and agenda. Okay. Now, this doesn't necessarily have to be bad. It's not like, oh, this is some sin. No, it's just like, hey, I want to go out and eat today, right now, you know, and you tell your wife or your wife tells you that. And she didn't want to hear that we don't have any money to take her because you love her so much that you go rob a bank if you had so you could take her. You know, I mean, like that. I mean, that's flesh, okay? That she wants to go, you know, out to eat. And I think it's more flesh than she does. But anyway, so we can have that conversation. But you see what I'm getting at. Flesh is not sin. But it is us what we want to do. It's just what we want to do, period, okay? So we hear from our flesh. We hear from our flesh. You know, when you walk out the door and your wife says she wants to go out to eat, she's just talking out of her flesh. Don't tell her. Don't tell her. Just say, sweetheart, I love to take you. I had that same thought from Jesus today. Anyway. So, okay, so you get. Now, it's a great verse. And look at Galatians 5:17. The desires of the flesh are against the spirit. Okay. You know. We can hear from the flesh, all right? Clearly from the flesh. But just as in a biblical sense, okay, the flesh is against the spirit. I'm not saying you shouldn't go out to eat. In fact, I'll ask Linda, I want to go out to eat, you know. See. But it's not the spirit. See, the flesh is not the spirit. Okay, but that's one way we hear from the flesh. But it's not the spirit. When God gives you wisdom, he doesn't talk through your flesh. So the flesh is just an indication. You understand. Okay, I want wisdom what to do. And you go this way, we can have so much fun. And we go this way, and it's going to be a little harder. We got to see people. And what I want to do, God give me wisdom. I don't even like these people. And I want to go hear this. And that's what I'd rather do. You know, God, give me wisdom. He can't. He can't. Because you're just in the flesh. He is working out. He's working out. You really don't want to know from me. You're just working it out in the flesh. Y'all see what I mean? It's just nothing wrong with it. Nothing. But ain't God speaking. Okay? It's just the flesh. Okay, that's one way we hear. There's a famous man of prayer. Some of you, I'm sure you know, George Mueller, famous man of prayer. And I mean, he prayed things, I mean, it's bizarre what, I guess 1800s about then, I can't remember. But how God, amazing, and he has a record, there's books on him and stuff, and famous man of prayer. And he said this, he said that before he prayed, now we're still talking about the flesh here, he said that before he prayed, he would come to a place of full acceptance and peace for each option before him. He had just come, whatever it was, he said, I'd be at total peace. If this happens, fine. Total peace. I'm accepting this as total peace, God. All these options, total peace. I can do any of them. I'm in total peace. And he says, at that time, he would ask God for guidance. And God would tell him every time. Do you see what he did? He moved the flesh out. He came to a total peace, total acceptance. Total peace. Remove the flesh out. Says, okay, God, now show me what to do. And God would tell him and prompt him what to do. But he had to move him out of it. Move himself, the flesh, out of it before he could hear. See? That's the myth. I want wisdom. Then move your flesh out of it. Come at peace with all options like that. Okay, God, I can stay here in this misery, or here, get out of this, I can do this, or this. God, I can live with any of them. Whatever you put there, I can live with it. I'm totally at peace with everything. Now, God, what do you want me to do? He'll tell you. See? Because we move the flesh out of it. The flesh speaks. The flesh speaks, and it interferes with what God's doing. Interferes with his speaking. Now, number two, Satan. Okay, we should not. There ain't no sense in talking about this. You know, Satan. Surely a believer of the church will be able to determine when Satan is speaking lies. Holy cow. Only then. A Christian should never be fooled by Satan. He should never be fooled by Satan. All right? But Satan speaks. I mean, the scripture is full of it. He spoke to Jesus. You're hungry, Jesus? Turn these rocks to bread. I mean, that's kind of an out there conversation. You know? And Jesus, no flesh at work here, not listening to Satan, says, God, the scripture says, thus saith the Lord, you shall not live by bread alone. You know, hate talking to you. Hate it, you know? Keep throwing that God stuff at me. See that Satan, we should never be fooled. 2 Timothy 2:20 said, but we are. We are. 2 Timothy 2:26. May they, the ones that are being lied to, may they come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. How many people are praying for loved ones or something that are captured by the will of Satan and going, you can't believe how they got there. They sucked into it, you know. But I'm here talking about believers. Satan will speak. We don't want to listen to the flesh. We don't want to listen to Satan. We don't want to listen to Satan. See? Well, we're not going to listen to flesh. We're not going to listen to Satan. There's only one person to listen to. There's only one person to listen to. Number three, listen to this. After removing the influence of our flesh and Satan, the clarity of God speaking truth will be evident. We'll know. We'll know. It's not that big a mystery. We'll know. We got cut loose from the flesh and cut loose from Satan, and God will speak to us, and we will know. John 16:13. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. He'll give you wisdom. We'll do it. It's a done deal. He will do it. Now, I wanted to kind of give you an example, kind of pull, you know, from last week, kind of how this can work, and we get confused. Well, is it God? Did God say this? And, you know, and the lesson from last week, and somebody's already mentioned it, from James 2. We went over James 2 about trials. Okay, it says, count it all joy for trials. Okay, so we already know that God teaches us through trials. Okay, we're in this trial. It says, count it all joy. In the flesh, number one, we're in the trial. Count it all joy. In the flesh going, this is miserable. I'm out of here. Ain't no reason for this. You know, I'm not suffering through this. Okay, how do I know if that's God or not? You know, because it's out of the flesh. You want out. And you want out. It's what you want, period. Flesh. You don't like it, and you want out of it. It's the flesh. Now, you can get out of it, you can do anything you want to. But it wasn't God speaking. See, oh, that's clear. We can be. That's perfectly clear. We don't have a question about that. Okay, Satan. What we're in this situation, and we say, oh, this is terrible. I don't deserve this. I don't, where I've been and what I've done and my sacrifice and all these people come up here and bragged on me, I don't deserve this. What's that talking? That's Satan talking. That's not even flesh talking. That's Satan talking. Because we deserve nothing but death, hell, and the grave. That's what we deserve, death, hell, and the grave. I love it when the rich man ruler came to Jesus, and you know, and Jesus told the rich young ruler and says, you know, there's nobody good but God. I said that because that leaves us out. So we deserve everything we get. And he said, I don't deserve that. That's Satan talking. See, that's, and we can determine that it's different than the flesh, but still not God. That's Satan speaking. Okay, well, we should recognize that. You know, poor little us come, oh, I'll help you out. You don't deserve this. It's demonic. That's how we know it's not God. Oh, you're suffering so much, and I know, and I'll give you a break and things, and it'll be better for you. That's the flesh talking. See, that's not God. Okay, we can figure that. That's no mystery. There's no mystery. What happens when God speaks? What happens with God? Sometimes it's silence. Okay, God. Okay. But in that trial, the third hour, when God speaks, say, well, this is good for you. This is what I'm going to teach you things, and I'm going to take you places, and this is part of what I'm doing in your life, and you trust me, believe me, and walk one step at a time. All right. And that's God. Now, in that little, is there any question who said what? Don't come up and say, I don't know if that's God. How we know that's God? Listen, get with the program. Get with the program. God's making it clear to us. All you're telling me is you don't read the scriptures. I shouldn't have said that. I mean, he it's just here. He's trying to help us out. I'm going way over. But here, so I'm gonna summarize. But you see what I'm saying here? This, but you back up of what God's telling. He said, you ask for it, I will give it to you, unless you doubt. Okay? You know? And you say, well, was that God? That's doubt. You know? I mean, you may not, God, I don't have a clue what you're saying. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, that one guy talking to Jesus, he said, man, he believed. He says, yeah, I believe, but help my unbelief. And he said, "Lord, I can't figure it out." And there was nothing wrong with that statement. You know. Anyway, here we got. Walking in faith and wisdom is pretty straightforward and not that hard. Why do I say that? The only reason it's hard is we don't want to do it. That's the reason it's hard. Or we don't like what's going on. That's the only reason it's hard. You know, if we come to grips with that, it's not hard. It's pretty straightforward. And two, it comes back to James. You got to believe that God is God and he will work. Because when we're in this trial, we know we're going to die. You know, that's the reason this is not working. We know we're going to die. No, trust me. Trust me. You may want to die, but trust me, and I'm going to bring you through it. Okay, listen to this. This verse is fascinating to me. But it tells us every single thing we need to know and about receiving wisdom. Everything is right here. Philippians 3, 15 and 16. Philippians 3, 15 and 16. Now, I put up there, I summarized it up there. I'm going to read the whole verse and then I'll go back over the summary. Okay, but here's what Philippians 3, 15 and 16. And again, we're talking about how to walk in wisdom, receiving and walking in wisdom. Okay, it says in Philippians 3, 15 and 16, "Let those of us who are mature..." Who's he talking to? We know something. See, we're not the dummy off the street. We know something, okay? "Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you." So I'll tell you. You kind of have some, you know, as you're moving forward, anything comes up different, you think something different, I'll tell you. I'll give you wisdom. I will give you wisdom. I'll tell you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Do you hear that? What do you do? Only hold true to what we have attained. We walk in, we have that light. And that's all we have. Now hold on to that. Now I'm going to take that step. Hold on to what you did. Then you're going to take that step. But you're holding on to what you have. Now you have more wisdom. You have more revelation. See? And if you're mature, you think that way. You believe that God is in control. And you also believe that anything's not sure, just step up. He's going to reveal it to you. See? God showed me. He said, "Okay, I'll tell you. I'll reveal it to you." Okay, I put these up here. What? The summary of things. Of receiving wisdom. Mature think this way. I will get wisdom. That's how the mature think. They walk like that. They believe that. Because they believe. But the mature think this way. When they are off base, God will reveal it to us. I think this way. And I see. And we get off base. Okay, I'm going to make an adjustment here. I'm going to fix it. Oh, okay. So I know I'm mature. I'll walk this way. And I know if I have a misstep, God says, "I'll fix it." Why is he going to fix it? Because we took the step we saw him giving us. He said, "I'll fix it." See? That's what this is saying right here. If we're off base, God said, "I'll reveal. I'll tell you. You're not out there. I'll tell you." And it's be confident and continue on what you know. Now, this is so huge. Continuing what you know. I know this much. Now, I'm going to take that one step. You know, that step, and then that light goes out, okay? Now, what you know, if I gave you another step of light, then you say, "Okay, I'm standing what I know. Now, I have another step. Now, I know more. I can take another step." When I get over there by the door, you know, I can't get there from here. But if I continue to stand in the light I have and to walk in what I know, he will move that light forward and take me to where I'm supposed to be. And some of it might be through a lot of trials, which Satan's going, "You don't deserve this. As hard as you don't deserve this." You know? Or, "This is too much trouble. You just got to check out. Don't mess with this. This is too much trouble. It's caused you too much heartache, you know." Flesh. Satan. Like that. Don't listen to flesh and say, and it will be evident what God says. And I'll just add this. Well, he's not saying anything. Then stand still. He works in silence. We've already seen that. He works in silence. He works in silence. And just like it's all about Jesus, Acts 4:12. And there is salvation in no one else but Jesus. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. It's all about Jesus. And it's all about coming in relationship to Him. And believing who He is. That's the reason James says, I'll give you wisdom if you don't doubt. See? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for James. We thank you for the book of James. And Lord, what a security, what an unbelievable security we have that you tell us that you will give us wisdom. You will give us and make understanding of what the next step is. You will tell us, Lord. And as we make that next step, anything we need to know, you will reveal that to us. It's a promise that you will reveal it to us. You are actively involved in our lives, actively directing us in our lives. And you just want us to trust you and you alone. But we must trust you. So we thank you, dear God, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.